This is Butch Slaughter, host of Echoes of Indiana Avenue. I have an important message for WFYI listeners before we start this week's show. This is a special episode of Echoes of Indiana Avenue. Today marks the one-year anniversary of Echoes of Indiana Avenue. For the last year, our inbox has been full of messages from WFYI listeners thanking us for bringing this historic music and culture to the Indianapolis airwaves. We thank each and every one of you for your kind words. Because you value what you hear every week, it's important that you financially give to WFYI. As a nonprofit, we rely on listeners just like you for monthly contributions. You make it possible for us to explore Naptown's rich musical history and provide this information to our community free of charge. To continue this work, we need your support. You can go to wfyi.org/give and show your support, or call 877-930-0221. Your gift to WFYI right now can further help communities in Central Indiana. If you become a member with at least a $5 monthly contribution, Kroger will donate 12 meals to Gleaners Food Bank. If you're already a member, add $5 monthly to your ongoing gift, and Kroger will donate 6 meals to Gleaners Food Bank. Go to wfyi.org/give and choose meals as your thank you gift. Thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting WFYI.
What we're gonna do right here is go back, way back, back into time.
This is Butch Slaughter, and you're listening to the Echoes of Indiana Avenue. Welcome to my neighborhood, the Avenue. I grew up here, and each week I'll be sharing the sounds and stories of the people that made the Avenue great. Welcome back to the Avenue, and this is a very special edition of Echoes of Indiana Avenue. On this week's show, we'll be featuring the voices of two important figures in Indianapolis history: the Indianapolis basketball legend Jerry Harkness, who died last month at the age of 81, and the late Father Boniface Hardin, the founder of Martin University. We'll be listening back to a conversation between Hardin and Harkness that was recorded in 1971. From 1971 to 1983, Father Boniface Hardin hosted a weekly radio program titled The Afro-American in Indiana, and it featured Father Hardin addressing a wide range of subjects related to the history of Black people in Indiana. In January of 1971, Father Hardin invited Jerry Harkness on the program to discuss the history of Black music in Indianapolis and the Indiana Avenue Renaissance. Jerry Harkness was born in Harlem, New York in 1940, and he gained fame in 1963 as the captain of the Loyola Ramblers NCAA championship winning team. Loyola's team that year featured four Black starters and has been credited for helping to end segregation in college basketball. In 1967, Harkness signed a contract with the Indiana Pacers. After retiring from professional basketball in 1969, Harkness stayed in Naptown. He took a job with Channel 13, becoming the first Black sportscaster in Indianapolis. At the time of his appearance on The Afro-American in Indiana, Harkness had been researching the history of black music in Indianapolis for a presentation at Black Expo. And as you'll hear, he developed an impressive expertise on the subject. For the next hour, we'll be listening to excerpts of this unique conversation between Jerry Harkness and Father Boniface Hardin. And you'll hear samples of the historic Naptown music they discussed, from classical music to the blues and jazz. Before we get started, let's hear the Indiana Pacer theme recorded during the early 1970s by the Indiana Avenue music legend Jimmy Scruggs. That was the Indiana Pacers theme, recorded and released by Jimmy Scruggs during the early 1970s. On this week's show, we're looking back at a 1971 conversation between the Indiana Pacers' Jerry Harkness and Father Boniface Hardin, founder of Martin University. Harkness appeared on Father Hardin's radio program, The Afro-American in Indiana, and they discussed the history of black music in Indianapolis. This recording was provided to Echoes of Indiana Avenue by the Indiana University Archives of African American Music and Culture. Let's set our radio dials to 1971 and travel back in time for this fascinating conversation. In this first clip, they discussed the history of the ink spots and the recording industry's exploitation of black musicians.
The Afro-American in Indiana, a look at the black man of the past by a black man of the present.
With me here today is Mr. Jerry Harkness, who is currently working with United Fund here in Indianapolis and Channel 13 and with the black community in general. And Jerry, how we got, of course we've known each other for some time, but this past summer when we were involved with the expo, we got involved in some very common things, one of which was studying the black man in Indiana, and in Jerry's field was in music and in sports. So we're going to try to do what we can today. There's an awful lot to be covered. And Jerry, would you like to just kind of talk about some of the Avenue Renaissance? As we indicated to our regular listeners, that there's a thing called the Harlem Renaissance, which took place in the early 1900s, especially around 1915 and so forth. And so we had our own Avenue Renaissance, which we call, which was musically and culturally oriented. and the avenue, of course, being Indiana Avenue and Indianapolis in general. So you want to kind of share with us some of the things that you found about the black community and music?
Yeah, Father Hardin, it was really an experience for me coming from Harlem myself and then going to school Loyola and really just coming here to play with the Pacers and so on and getting involved with the community, and you don't really realize what the community had to offer as far as black talent, because you just come into this area. And I really, it was an experience going around to different families and talking to the families and talking about musicians of the past and how great they were and the struggles that they had because of the lack of openings for this type of talent. You can go on and on. Of course, one of my favorite stories that I found out through talking with different people, and this was right from the horse's mouth, of course, the Ink Spots, the original Ink Spots, were right from here in Indianapolis, and Jerry Daniels was one of the Ink Spots, and the problems that they ran through, of course, they were very talented young men. They hit it off right away, and it jumped into different groups, and a lot of them dropped out and what have you. But the problems that they had coming up, for example, they didn't know much about contracts and so on, and they made it big, but a lot of that money went right to the producers and to their agent. Agent in those days just took all the money off the top. And Jerry Daniels was one of the Ink Spots, of course, as I indicated, one of the original Ink Spots, and he started traveling, and they started making it real big. Well, he was discouraged about all this money going to them, like something like 80% of the take was going to the agents and things like this. But they just got rid of him, or they sent him home. They just said no, you know, and they replaced him with another fella, and they even went further. So I'm not saying that they went further even without him. He was a great, he had great talents and so on, and they went on to hire things without him. Of course, they went to Hollywood, and they made a lot of movies. Then they came out with their top hit, If I Didn't Care, and they just went on and on. But still in all, the Ink Spots did not receive the type of money. They had the recognition, of course, but they did not receive the type of money that you and I think they would have, that mm-hmm. they received, primarily because of the times there where they just... There was no lawyers that really could back him and all this. This guy just had it from the get-go.
It was really a great privilege just to be able to get on the scene at all at the time.
Well, the times were so hard there.
What times are we talking about here?
We're talking about the 1940s and around mm-hmm. in that time. You know, okay. Times were so hard for the black man that an opportunity to be in the light. Of course, he was in the spotlight. He'd come back. They were driving their big Cadillac and down Indiana Avenue and so on. But the type of money that they really made overall, the gross income, was fantastic, and they only received a very small amount. They were making movies, and they weren't getting anything. And Jerry, and I talked with him, and I've kind of grown fond of the guy. You know, he just said, I will not do it under these conditions. And he, of course, ran into a drinking problem as well and things like this. He's all right now. And just recently, one of the Ink Spots passed away, and he went to the funeral, and Charlie Fuquay passed away. He was in the original Ink Spot. But another thing, these guys would get upset, and it was so much black talent that when they get upset or they decided that, well, they just couldn't take this, they'd let them go and have another one. Take their place. That's why you had so many Ink Spots, so many different types.
They were constantly being replaced.
Replaced, sure. They could be, if they ever got upset or got out of their place, it was like a little, it was something like a slavery, really. I mean, they were using their talents. If they got out of place and wasn't happy with what was going on, there was so much black talent around that could fit into the Ink Spots that they put them right in there.
We've been listening back to a 1971 conversation between basketball legend Jerry Harkness and Father Boniface Hardin, the founder of Martin University. Let's pause and listen to two early tracks from the Ink Spots. From 1936, we'll hear Old Joe's Hidden the Jug. And from 1938, we'll listen to That cat is high.
Yeah, yeah. Old Joe's hitting the jug. Old Joe's hitting the jug. Old Joe's hitting the jug. Got his feet up in the chair, and he hasn't got a care. Old Joe's hitting the jug. He's not working today. He's not working today. Yay! That cat is high. Look that look in his eye. Oh man, he's high. Yes, higher than a kite. That cat is high. Look that look in his eye. Man, I wouldn't lie. The cat's higher than a kite. Now when you see him stumbling up and down the street, you know that cat's been drinking. Got no shoes upon his feet.
This is Butch Slaughter, and you're listening to the Echoes of Indiana Avenue. On this week's show, we're listening to a 1971 conversation between the Indianapolis basketball legend Jerry Harkness and Father Boniface Hardin, the founder of Martin University. This recording was made for Father Boniface Hardin's radio program, The Afro-American in Indiana. Let's return to this historic conversation as Father Hardin and Jerry Harkness discuss the role of military bands in early 1900s black music.
Did, in your research, Jerry, did you come across any, say, like the black bands in World War One or Two? Did you run across any of the, like, say, from Indiana?
The military bands. Jack Powell, again, he was like the father of all black music. They called him the genius of black musicians.
The one who was at Attucks?
Yeah. And, of course, they had the Brown Buddies. But this guy, they had a military band, which was one of the best in the country right here. And, of course, George Temple, and you look all... And you travel around and talk to families, and they said, well, my son played, and so on, and you put these names together, and it's amazing. All the talent they had in that band. And, I had pictures of them and so on, and it was about 50 people in the band. George Temple, and who went on to Fess Williams, played with Fess Williams in the Savoy Ballroom and so on. But the talent was so great, they had so much talent coming out of Crispus Attucks and other places here, that they put them in this band. They were unbeatable. They used to march and everything, and play in the Masonic different groups and so on. Mm-hmm. But it used to be unbelievable. They call it Clay's Military Band, mm-hmm. and made up about 30, 40 guys, and they couldn't be touched. They were simply fantastic. And Frank Clay was known as the Black Soul, so him and Powell were the two big teachers here. And he taught a whole generation of brass players, and he was the man, so to speak. And so when you talk of the great musicians that came out here, sometimes we have the problem of forgetting about the teachers of these great musicians, and Clay and Powell were two of the greatest mm-hmm. at that time. But that military band back in the early 1900s were unbeatable. They were popular, well-known. Of course, the Masonic, they played with the different temples and so on. And that was back in those days, the Lodge and the Masonic Lodge and so on was the yin more so than now. Mm-hmm.
We just heard Jerry Harkness mention the great Indianapolis jazz trumpeter George Temple. In just a moment, we'll listen to a classic recording featuring Temple. But first, let's hear more about George Temple from Jerry Harkness and Father Hardin.
And there's a lot of story. You can go on with George Temple, who, this is amazing, but these are the things that happened. He played at the Savoy Ballroom. He's from Indianapolis. He's with the Recorder. He played at the Savoy Ballroom in Harlem for 5 years. They were the house band when it first opened up. And white musicians used to stay there right in the front to catch their beat. You know, that's the catch on, and they copied, and they made the money. They used to sit right in the front and copy everything that these guys were playing. And they were great musicians. And they would sit right in the front there and catch their beat and try to get it, and, you know, because mostly blacks played by ear. You know, they didn't write any to hardly anything down. There was a lot of them that could read music, but most of them really just jammed by ear. Excuse me. So they had people sit right down, they white band players and trumpet players and so on, and just stay there constantly until they caught their beat, went back, and made millions out of it. Yeah, that's the way it was and so on.
Well, was what period of time was he playing in Harlem?
Well, that was around the 40s and 50s as well.
Would you say that was a golden era?
Yes. I found that
the 40s, with the black musicians arrived?
The big bands were really going strong. They had the Savoy here, and of course the big, in here in Indianapolis, you had the Cotton Club, which had two floors, and they really rocked. They had a ball there, you know, and of course they had the big names come in here, Cab Calloway. Indiana Avenue was something else, and it was just fantastic, the type of talent that used to come in here. They used to call Indianapolis the stronghold because a lot of musicians used to come here it was tough in those days. They tried to get to New York or Chicago, and they stop off here to get money and all this, and they struggle here, and it used to be like a stopping off place. So you had great talents come right here in Indianapolis.
You know, it must have been a great dilemma for the black musician, you know, to go and to play. You hear this, you know, hear Duke and Satchmo and a few fellows who would play, and yet, you know, they couldn't stay overnight somewhere or couldn't eat down, you know. It was good enough for the music, you know, but couldn't eat and sleep there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We were fine for entertainment, you know, for cleaning up and things like that, but we weren't. But some of those guys, you know, they challenged that. Some of them refused to, you know, to play where they couldn't eat or sleep.
Right. And I think one of the probably the weak spots, the depressing part, is the copying, and see guys making it, like Hoagy Carmichael. Now, he copied the blues from a fellow named Reginald Duvall, who had an orchestra back in the 40s, the high 40s and so on. And he used to play around town here, and everybody in music knew Reginald and his band. Well, he taught Hoagy Carmichael the blues, and Hoagy went on to, of course, greater fame, and he just stayed as a local talent, and he was outstanding, but never had the opportunity. Of course, I'm not saying that it was complete copying. I'm sure that blacks copied from whites as well, but in most of the cases, I think the copying came whereas the whites were copying from blacks and taking that music and using it and going on to greater fame.
Let's pause and listen to a classic early jazz recording featuring George Temple. From 1926, this is Nobody But My Baby Is Getting My Love, recorded by Fess Williams and his Royal Flush Orchestra, featuring George Temple.
Nobody but my baby is getting my love.
Echoes of Indiana Avenue will return after this short break. This is Butch Slaughter, and you're listening to the Echoes of Indiana Avenue. On this week's show, we're featuring the voices of two important figures in Indianapolis history, the Indianapolis basketball legend Jerry Harkness, who died last month at the age of 81, and the late Father Boniface Hardin, the founder of Martin University. We're listening to a conversation between Hardin and Harkness that was recorded in 1971 for Father Hardin's weekly radio program, The Afro-American in Indiana. This recording was provided to Echoes of Indiana Avenue by the Indiana University Archives of African American Music and Culture. Let's set our radio dials back to 1971 again as Father Hardin and Jerry Harkness discuss Scrapper Blackwell. and the cultural significance of blues music.
Another blues singer right here, Scrapper Blackwell. His music is still around. Scrapper, he was one of the best. Of course, he drank quite a bit, and that was one of his problems. But Scrapper was one of the greatest blues singers around. He just kind of came up with that blues, and at the time, blacks were depressed, and they had their problems, and blues was a thing that they looked to quite a bit. This again was the 1930s and 40s and so on, and the 20s. I'm sorry, the late 20s and 30s. Mm-hmm. So Scrapper was very popular back in those days, and he was like a B.B. King is today.
Is that right?
And he was from Indiana, and he was real big pianist. Of course, he had a guy that played with him, his partner. It was a Leroy Carr. And they would team up, both of them from Indiana. But so blues played a big part in those days, very big part in black music.
Yeah. Of course, I guess, you know, we talked, you know, Dwight, before about the impact of church and the way the church influenced. And that was the one place where we as black people could go and, you know, and we could sing, you know. We did kind of let our feelings out. And the blues, of course, are very sad in many ways. And even jazz, in a sense, is sad, although not all jazz is sad. I mean, it's very mystical. But I'm just commenting on the fact that these men reflected the spirit of the times, you know, and the feeling of black people, you know, in their music, you know, they really did. Yeah. And I think, you know, we have a tendency to forget, you know, because we can send a cat up to the moon. We have a tendency to forget, you know, what our forefathers did to get us where we are, as far as black people is concerned. We have a tendency to forget. And all the effort, and in fact, for instance, because we got electronic guitar and so forth, that these men didn't have that kind of electrical device to amplify. They had to project, you know, they had to project that voice.
Carry those big basses
around.
They had their time. Of course, they weren't receiving that much money for it either. They were not highly paid people. As a matter of fact, poorly paid. If you would put that in proportion to their abilities, they were really poorly paid.
Let's pause and listen to a pair of classic tracks from the Indiana Avenue blues legend, Scrapper Blackwell. From 1931, we'll hear Hard Time Blues, followed by Nobody Knows You When You're Down and Out, recorded live in Indianapolis in 1959.
I'm going down to the river just to see the water run. I'm going down to the river just to see the water run. And to think about my troubles and where all my money's gone.
Boy, this is the truth, without a doubt. Nobody wants you when you're down and out. Nobody. That rent man was by the other day, and he told me my rent was due and I'd have to pay. Well, I looked in my pocket and I didn't have one dime. Apart from a friend, they don't have time.
This is Butch Slaughter, and you're listening to the Echoes of Indiana Avenue. On this week's show, we're listening to a 1971 conversation between the Indianapolis basketball legend Jerry Harkness and Father Boniface Hardin, the founder of Martin University. This recording was made for Father Hardin's radio program, The Afro-American in Indiana. In this next excerpt, Father Hardin and Jerry Harkness discuss some of the great black classical music performers to emerge from Naptown.
Were there any attempts at classical music? The opportunities, again, were very limited.
Yeah, it was a couple of people here from, I can't recall the name, that I looked into, two or three outstanding people that were involved. And there's a teacher right now at Attucks that was pretty big on that and so on. I didn't jump into that. I can't remember this lady's name. She made it real big in classical music locally. But the emphasis, of course, was put on jazz, mm-hmm. and the rock and jazz, rhythm and blues like era, because that was your best chance of surviving. And, mm-hmm. and you know, you kind of get around with each other, and you kind of copy off of each other and help each other and so on. And most of the people were playing jazz at that time, but it was quite a few.
Jerry, are you still able to follow up on your research, musical research? Do you, perhaps maybe you haven't had time, but are you still doing some work, or haven't you been able to do any more research on it?
Well, I haven't, but I it's amazing how I got involved in this thing, Father. You know, we all got there at and tried for Expo, and I was supposed to just like help others and so on. So I found myself just about doing all of it. But since then, an Expo is coming up again. I'll try to do a little more. Mm-hmm. I think it was really exciting talking to the families and things. That mm-hmm. was the interesting part of it, and mm-hmm. these old stories and so on that happened. But that name was Carol Bryce that I was trying to bring. Of course, Todd Duncan was another one. He was the first original Porgy and Bess. And he was from right around in this area, Kentucky and Indiana, but he kind of lived here most of his time. Carol Bryce was a contralto, and she was from Indianapolis. She made it real big. And Todd Duncan, who, as I indicated, was the first four-game bass. Mm-hmm.
Let's pause and listen to a pair of recordings from the Naptown Opera singers Carol Bryce and Todd Duncan. First, we'll hear Carol Bryce singing J.S. Box, And My Spirit Hath Rejoiced, from the Magnificat No. 2. After that, we'll hear Todd Duncan's 1949 recording of Kurt Vile's Lost in the Stars.
Stars in the palm of his hand, and they ran through his fingers like grains of sand. And one little star fell alone.
This is Butch Slaughter, and you're listening to the Echoes of Indiana Avenue. On this week's show, we're listening to a 1971 conversation between the Indianapolis basketball legend Jerry Harkness and Father Boniface Hardin, the founder of Martin University. This recording was made for Father Hardin's radio program, The Afro-American in Indiana. Let's join Father Hardin and Jerry Harkness for the conclusion of their conversation.
Indiana, as far as music is concerned, right now has had a great deal of people that's come out of here. Of course, the Montgomerys, all of them, the brothers Monk and Buddy Montgomery, that are doing well now, of course. West passed, but the Monk and Buddy are still playing. Freddie Hubbard is another name that has been fantastic. He's doing a great job.
Freddie still alive?
Yes, he is. He's a trumpet player, and he's with Quincy Jones. I saw him. I caught him in Chicago. He played with Quincy Jones, and the Killer Joe part, the trumpet part there, he played, and he was really good. He's really outstanding. Mm-hmm. And we can go on, Larry Ridley is supposedly one of the best bass players we have around today. He's from Indianapolis. He's in New York now. And then you have Dave, of course, Dave Baker, who's at IU, was teaching out there and so on, trumpet and so on, clarinet, I should say. And he, of course, is one of the best.
I think he's a really unique person, Dave Baker.
Yeah, a composer. He writes a lot.
Really, he'll probably go down nationally as one of the great artists, you know, with classical jazz and really fantastic human being, you know, personally. And his music is just out of sight.
J.J. Johnson is another one. He's from Indianapolis here as well. And, of course, he is the best, you call. And all these guys grew up here. And
Looks like our time is running out. Yeah. Maybe we can get you back, Jerry, and maybe talk a little bit more about some of the other people you've come across and met, and we'll be able to. We certainly want you to share with us some of your feelings about the Afro-American in athletics. You know, being an old Pacer man or a basketball man, going back to your college days, and so been very nice having you with us.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah. So.
Okay, this just about wraps up session number 9, the Afro-American in Indiana. In the next session, we will get into athletics. For Jerry Hardness, our special guest, and Reverend Harden, this is Dwight Smith.
This has been the Afro-American in Indiana, a look at the black man of the past by a black man of the present. This series is produced by WIAN in cooperation with the Institute of Afro-American Studies in Indianapolis, an affiliate of Martin Center. This program has been pre-recorded.
That's all the time we have for this week's show. Thank you for tuning in. We'd also like to thank Tyron Cooper and Brenda Nelson Strauss of the Indiana University Archives of African American Music and Culture for sharing this historic recording. And finally, we'd like to thank the family of Jerry Harkness for their cooperation in presenting this program. You can meet me here on the Avenue again next week, and you can find the Echoes of Indiana Avenue podcast on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you download your podcasts. Echoes of Indiana Avenue is written and produced by Kyle Long and hosted and co-produced by me, Herman Butch Slaughter.
If you will stop and listen, I will tell you a thing or two.